Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram's oil report for Saturday, January 3rd. Energy Transfer may convert pipeline to gas. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Energy Transfer is considering converting a pipeline that moves natural gas liquids out of the Permian Basin to natural gas service amid weak NGL pricing and strong gas demand. If the company makes the conversion, quote, the project would add to the industry bandwagon for new gas pipelines out of the Permian Basin, according to East Daily Analytics. The company's model forecast more than 10 billion cubic feet per day of new Permian gas takeaway through 2030 from projects with a final investment decision, including several by Energy Transfer. The Whitewater joint venture backing the Eiger Express pipeline, which was recently upsized, Whitewater's Blackcomb, and Energy Transfer's Hugh Brinson pipelines. These projects are scheduled to start through 2027, and the Eiger Express and Energy Transfer's Desert Southwest will add more takeaway by the end of the decade. What it means for natural gas prices, especially at the Waha Hub in Reeves County, where prices have gone negative a couple of times, is basis relief. Quote, the key point is this impacts Waha more through basis relief than through Henry Hub outright, Jackson Fryer with East Daily told the Reporter Telegram. Any ability to move Permian gas out of the basin tends to reduce the frequency and severity of constraint events, including negative price episodes, and strengthen Waha versus Henry Hub over time. As new egress comes online, Waha should generally firm up through less tapped gas, especially if oil stays flat and associated gas growth doesn't overwhelm the new pipes, he added. Quote, that said, the magnitude matters. A small conversion would be incremental versus the much larger new build or expansion wave already in motion out of the Permian, he said. In other words, near term, Waha can stay soft because production is still large and the system is still working through restraints, maintenance, and timing of new capacity. Medium or late decade risk. If gas takeaway is truly overbuilt and producers respond by growing gas harder than expected, that can cap how much Waha strengthens. The Permian fills the pipe, and discounts persist but are less chaotic. Quote, bottom line, we do think the market is moving towards stronger Waha and fewer blowouts, but it's more a story about basis normalization and volatility reduction than an immediate step change in absolute gas prices, Fryer said. Pipelines joining portfolio trend. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Portfolio optimization is not limited to exploration and production companies as they shed properties deemed non-core. Pipeline companies are also examining their portfolios to determine what assets could be repurposed. One example is Energy Transfer, which is evaluating whether to convert a Permian natural gas liquids line to natural gas service. Management said in the company's third quarter earnings call, converting the candidate pipe would roughly double revenue in gas versus NGL service, given weak NGL rates and strong gas demand. East Daily Analytics expects Permian Y-grade takeaway to be overbuilt as competitors build new NGL pipelines to Mont Belvieu, including Targa Resources Speedway and Enterprise Products Bahia System. Quote, "We expect other companies beyond Energy Transfer to consider pivoting excess NGL pipe to natural gas," Jackson Fryer with East Daily told the Reporter-Telegram. "You'll see more evaluation of repurposing underutilized assets, but I'd frame it as selective and situation-dependent, not a broad industry-wide shift where NGL systems are suddenly becoming gas pipes," end quote. "A conversion would only make sense when a few things line up," he continued. "The NGL line is structurally long capacity or facing weak recontracting leverage or low rates. The route sits in a high-value gas corridor where incremental egress is scarce and shippers will sign for firm transport. The owner can clear the regulatory engineering hurdle, moving from liquids under CFR Part 195 to gas under Part 192, brings tighter rules on MAOP, class location, integrity management. The company can manage the commercial trade-off. Giving up an NGL artery can be very costly if it's feeding a core fractionation export chain. The company hasn't revealed which asset it is considering, but East Daily speculates that the West Texas Gateway system is the likeliest target. West Texas Gateway is a 16-inch NGL pipeline running 570 miles from Winkler County to ET's Jackson County processing plant on the Gulf Coast. The line has a capacity of about 209,000 barrels per day and has been in service since 2012. Other pipelines move NGLs north from the WTG system to Mont Belvieu. WTG was built under Hazardous Liquids Code, Title 49, Code of Federal Regulation, Part 195. Converting the line to gas would place it under Title 49 CFR, Part 192, regulations. The project would trigger tighter rules on maximum allowable operating pressure, MAOP, class locations, high consequence areas, or HCAs, and integrity management per the conversion guidance from the Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration. Using a panhandle-style scaling for a modern 42-inch, 400-mile line with about 1.5 BCF per day of capacity, EDA estimates WTG could support only 100 to 200 million cubic feet per day of gas transport with added compression. East Daily capacity and horsepower estimates assume similar MAOP and pressure windows between the reference pipe and a gas conversion. So, Fryer concluded, quote, "The theme we expect across the sector is optimization and optionality. Expansions, added compression, de-bottlenecks, reversals, and some conversions where the NGL business is structurally less strategic and gas margins are clearly better," end quote. Landman spurs TCU land management course. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Thanks to the TV series Landman, interest is growing in the profession, so much so that Tom Seng, assistant professor of energy finance at Texas Christian University's Neely School of Business, is offering an undergraduate course on land management and land administration. Quote, "In September, I took an informal survey and a dozen or so students responded with interest," he told the Reporter-Telegram. He then submitted a proposal for a seminar that could turn into a formal course. Seng said 26 students had signed up for the 8-week course and he is recruiting land professionals to address the students. He has also received support from the American Association of Petroleum Landmen, which offers two certification levels, registered and certified. He said he is asking the land professionals to discuss their backgrounds and then address topics from the certification exams. Singh recalled how, a couple of years ago, a company came to a TCU job fair seeking land interns, and he said there weren't any. He attributed the lack of interest to, first, a lack of understanding about land management, and second, the economic ups and downs of the industry and resulting job uncertainty. The television series, which Singh noted has done quite a bit of filming on the TCU campus, combined with a number of graduate degree programs, is sparking new interest. His goal with the seminar is to set the record straight, assuring the students they won't have to deal with drug cartels, and showing attendees land management is a profession, and a lucrative profession at that. Quote, I hope they receive enough information and education that, if interviewed for internships, they would be qualified, he said. This is truly an introduction, end quote. Singh acknowledged that landmen, along with petroleum engineers and reservoir engineers, are often in the first wave of layoffs amid an industry downturn. But, he said, quote, there's the graying of the industry. We need that next generation, end quote. Quote, land management is not your grandfather's profession, Singh said. I also want to convey this is such a different profession. It's more technical. It's digitized. It's not Billy Bob Thornton in a pickup, end quote. Land managers put property packages together and then sell or acquire mineral rights, he explained. Consolidation among upstream companies is also playing a role, he said. When ExxonMobil acquired Pioneer Natural Resources, not all Pioneer's properties were strategic, so ExxonMobil is parceling them out, and landmen will handle those divestitures. It's also a quasi-legal profession, so landmen have to understand lease terms. Even basic land systems are complex and vary from state to state, Singh noted. Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma have different systems. Singh will emphasize the importance of title searches and getting clean titles to properties and cover right-of-way as well, important for pipelines and compression pads. Quote, we'll see how it goes. If they enjoy the class, if they get internships, that's how I'll gauge its success. If it works, we can turn it into a course, he said. EIA says it expects U.S. oil output to drop in 2026. The story was written by Mella McEwen, staff writer. U.S. crude production is expected to trend lower in 2026, according to the Energy Information Administration. The agency's short-term energy outlook forecasts domestic production will average 13.5 million barrels per day in 2026, down about 100,000 barrels from 2025 levels. The decline will break a four-year cycle of rising production. The Permian Basin helped drive production increases of 300,000 barrels a day in 2024 and 400,000 barrels per day in 2025. Permian production grew about 400,000 barrels a day in 2024 and about 300,000 barrels a day in 2025. The EIA forecasts Permian output will continue to rise in 2026, but by a fraction of 2024 and 2025 levels. The modest increases, along with modest increases in Alaska and offshore, will be offset by declines elsewhere in the U.S. In its outlook, the agency also forecasts West Texas Intermediate, which averaged about $65 in 2025, will fall to an average of $51 in 2026. Global oil inventories will put downward pressure on prices as they are forecast to continue rising through 2026. EIA analysts forecast Brent prices, the global benchmark, will decline to an average of $55 per barrel in the first quarter of 2026 and remain near that level for the rest of the year. Quote, although we expect crude oil prices to continue to fall in the coming months, we assess that both the OPEC Plus production policy and China's continued inventory builds will limit price declines, analysts wrote. In its outlook, the EIA expects Henry Hub natural gas spot prices to rise to an average of almost $4.30 per million British thermal units, or MMBTU, for the winter season, which runs from November to March. That's a gain of 40 cents from the EIA's November outlook. That upward revision was due primarily to colder-than-expected weather in December. Quote, however, we expect milder-than-normal weather in early 2026, and rising production will help moderate natural gas prices following the winter, with the Henry Hub price averaging about $4 per MMBTU next year, analysts wrote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the HEB grocery ads for the week of Wednesday, November 19th through Tuesday, November 27th. HEB will be open Thanksgiving Day until noon for your convenience. Reopen at regular store hours Friday, November 28th. Get up to a 12-pound Riverside Grade A turkey, frozen, free when you buy an HEB spiral-sliced bone-in or boneless ham, half or whole, assorted varieties. No substitutions or rain checks. Pay the difference on a turkey over 12 pounds. Limit one per customer. Sugardale portion ham, 97 cents a pound. Limit two. Save up to $1.02 a pound on fresh Boston butt pork roast, bone in, sold whole in the bag. Now $1.27 a pound. Limit two packages with an additional $10 purchase. Riverside Grade A Young Turkey, frozen, 75 cents a pound. Limit one with an additional $20 purchase. Save up to $2 a pound on jumbo raw white shrimp, 16 to 25 count per pound. Responsibly farmed, previously frozen, now $5.97 a pound. HEB breakfast sausage, 16 ounces, assorted varieties, two for $7. Produce, sweet potatoes, 12 cents a pound. HEB premium pineapple, $1.27 each. Your choice, Granny Smith apples or sweet onions, 77 cents a pound. Your choice, asparagus or broccoli crowns, $1.47 a pound. Buy Meal Simple seasoned turkey breast, honey glazed ham, beef roast with potatoes and carrots, or braised short ribs. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. Meal Simple family size side. Save up to $8.97. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online. on H-E-B Creamy Creations ice cream or sherbet, half gallon, assorted varieties, now $5.98 each. Pepsi, 12-pack of 12-ounce cans, assorted varieties, 2 for $11 with yellow coupon, in-store or online, when you buy two. Save $1 with yellow coupon, in-store or online, on Central Market Totopos Tortilla Chips, 12-count, assorted varieties, now $2.98 each. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on H-E-B Frozen Baby Potatoes, 16 ounces, assorted varieties, now $1.98 each. Save $3.50 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy two Rao's Homemade Pasta Sauce, 32 ounces, assorted varieties. H-E-B Meal Deal. Save more than $11 in free items with yellow coupons in-store or online. Buy two H-E-B Mi Tienda Grande, 30 ounces, Tamales Aguilar or Garcia Refrigerated or Hot Tamales, 12-count, assorted varieties. Get three items free with yellow coupons in-store or online. H-E-B Mi Tienda Bakery Pan de Polvo, assorted varieties, excludes party trays. H-E-B Mi Tienda Salsa Taquera, 9.5 ounces, assorted varieties. And H-E-B Mi Tienda Rice, 15 ounces, or refried beans, 17.6 ounces. Combo Loco. Buy Fisher Baking Nuts, 10 to 32 ounces, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, Ghirardelli Baking Chips, 10 to 12 ounces, assorted varieties. Excludes 72%, no sugar, and non-dairy. Save up to $5.38. Buy Pam No Stick Cooking Spray, 5 to 6 ounces, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, Duncan Hines Cake Mix, 15.25 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $1.97. Buy Idahoan Mashed Potatoes, 4 to 4.1-ounce pouch, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, Pioneer Roasted Gravy Mix, 1.41 to 1.7 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $1.78. Buy Nutella Hazelnut Spread, 13 ounces. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online, H-E-B Original or Buttermilk, or Original Complete Pancake and Waffle Mix, 32 ounces. Save up to $2.82. Save $2 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $10 of H-E-B, H-E-B Organics, or Central Market Frozen Fruits or Vegetables. Must spend $10. Save $3 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $15 of H-E-B Higher Harvest by H-E-B, H-E-B Mi Tienda, Hill Country Fair, or Central Market brand baking items. Excludes vegetable and canola oils and Hill Country Fair spices. Must spend $15. Save $2 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $12 of H-E-B, Hill Country Fair, or Hill Country Essentials disposable tableware. Must spend $12. buy one Good Wipes flushable and biodegradable wipes, 60 count assorted varieties. Get a second one free with yellow coupon in-store or online. Save up to $3.47. Save $10 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $40 of Tylenol, Zyrtec, Benadryl, Visine, Band-Aid, or select Neutrogena Flex or Health Savings Account eligible items. Must spend $40. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Brawny paper towels, 6 double or triple rolls, assorted varieties. Buy Huggies pull-ups or Goodnights, 8 to 92 count, assorted varieties, with a retail value of $29.97 or more, and get free with yellow coupon in-store or online General Mills Family Size Honey Nut Cheerios, 18.8 ounces, Cheerios or Bluey Cereal, 18 ounces. Save up to $4.93. Buy two foil pans, any brand. Get a third one free with yellow coupon in-store or online. Save $3 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Libby Celine 6-in-1 server. Save $5 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Complete Cuisine 2-in-1 warming plate and buffet server. Now $34.98 each with coupon. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, November 29th, 2025. Religion. Give Thanks for God's Divine Goodness by William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, but between the large, delicious meals and the distractions, it's easy to forget how much we have to be thankful for. Sadly, many have forgotten, or maybe they have never known the history of human suffering, along with the gratitude the pilgrims expressed. It's recorded that the new colony was focused on giving God thanks for his blessings and protection, as William Bradford is quoted, "Being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast and furious ocean, and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof, to again set their feet on the firm and stable earth. Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of God have all the praise." Clearly, the pilgrims of the Plymouth colony praised God and appreciated him for all they had. While today our younger generation knows that Thanksgiving is associated with an endless avalanche of media hypes, sales, advertisements, marketing gimmicks, Black Friday, and taking time off from work. But the true meaning remains, giving thanks for who God is and his divine goodness. Like all Christians, we give thanks to the Lord for loving us and rescuing us from a hopeless condition of being lost in sin and death, and preparing a place for us in heaven. We could never express to our Heavenly Father how grateful we are that he sent Jesus to forgive and redeem us with his blood. However, This is not an automatic miracle for every person on the planet. It has everything to do with the individual being convicted by their guilt and disobedience, and then responding to him out of love and sincere brokenness. So, we see that Thanksgiving is about expressing our love to God, and those who desire to know him personally discovers our relationship with him is not based on gifts, but just for who he is. Yes, his grace is enough to save all who have ever lived or will live, but I want us to see a critical element within his gift of eternal salvation. Let's turn to Psalm 100, verse 4, as we notice a simple yet profound revelation of truth. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. We usually associate this passage with being grateful, and rightly so. But looking closer, we notice the gate is available to anyone, but it takes a desire to open the gate and enter. An intentional act of deliberately pursuing God and then pressing forward into the courts of doing his will. It's easy to say we are thankful for all the wonderful things we have. Even the unsaved agree to this. But it's the child of God who worships him in the hard times and the good times. I published a book a few years ago called A Lifestyle of Worship. And it's about being determined to develop a constant awareness of God's presence instead of just when we attend church or need a favor. Brother Lawrence, whose 17th century work, The Practice of the Presence of God, details his discipline to go beyond religion and become so sensitive to everything going on around him that he might consider all situations as an opportunity to manifest the attributes of Christ. How can we be thankful in all things, as 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 18 demands? I heard a story last week about a missionary who was visiting a small village in a remote part of Africa. He noticed a woman sitting alone away from the open-air meeting, and he went over to speak to her. She lowered her mask, and he saw where years of not being treated for leprosy had taken away her nose, ears, and lips. As she raised a hand that was without fingers, she quietly asked if he could lead the people in singing the old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." My prayer is that I will never become spoiled by his blessings, but that every moment I will be sincerely grateful for the privilege of knowing and serving him. Read more about the Christian life at BillyHollandMinistries.com. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Learn to Cook by Van Yandel. Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. The study of American history is fascinating in that it tells us of our heritage, which determines our culture. One of the many subjects in the history of our nation is how the pioneers provided food for themselves. While many of our ancestors were hunter-gatherers, many were also farmers. To provide food was a continual process and absolutely essential for survival, as it has always been. In Judges chapter 6, we find Gideon threshing grain. By this passage, we can know the Hebrew people were dependent on their ability to produce and harvest crops. In early American history, we find the use of grist mills. A large water wheel was constructed and placed by a stream where there was a waterfall. The falling water turned the wheel, which was connected to grinding stones, which ground the grain to produce flour or cornmeal. In previous times, people ate for survival and not for entertainment. Nowhere in the Bible do we find someone asking another, "What restaurants have you eaten in lately?" In today's culture, many think of cooking as going to the deli or frozen food section of the grocery. Those products we buy contain additives, which in many cases are harmful to our health, and finally is being addressed by the government. In the world today, many countries are seeing an increase in diseases and ailments not previously existing. Obesity is epidemic. Perhaps a part of the reasoning is because of the mass-produced food products, which contain preservatives and sugar or sweeteners to make them appeal to taste. Perhaps we could consider the foods prepared in various countries or cultures. In sub-Saharan Africa, we ate a dish called ugali. It is a mixture of white cornmeal, water, salt, and sometimes butter to enrich the taste. Githeri is a mixture of corn and beans. An interpreter discussing nutrition once made the statement, "Beans and rice make a complete protein." In South Korea, we ate kimchi, mostly containing fermented cabbage. Other ingredients, mostly spices, are added to make it exciting to the taste buds. In Russia, borscht is made of whatever can be had, but mostly it is a beet soup with varying other ingredients. These foods are mostly natural ingredients containing no sugar or preservatives. All this considered, we can understand why Americans are among the most unhealthy people in the world. The government shutdown of this fall brought to our attention the need for home cooking. Placing a manufactured dish in a microwave, then presenting it to your family, is not cooking. Sad to say, young people have not a clue how to prepare a meal like their grandmother. The economics of eating may soon dictate a return to the simpler foods that even the most inept can prepare at home. The cost of a restaurant meal for four can cost as much as a week's food supply. To develop common sense where the conserving of money is concerned is mostly a hopeless task. Many parents have taught sons and daughters the convenience of ordering in or pre-prepared meals from the frozen food section. The Bible provides us with a listing of foods that are recommended by our Creator. Most would be in agreement that since He created us, He knows best on how we should be nourished. Genesis 1:29, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." A very short time after the creation of man, Genesis 1:27, God told Adam and Eve what to eat. Daniel 1:8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." That changed in the New Testament because Paul recommended wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities, 1 Timothy 5:23. And Jesus changed water into wine at Cana, John 2:7-10. Daniel requested of the eunuch that he and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, be given vegetables and water. After 10 days, their countenance was observed to be healthier than those who had eaten the king's meat and drank the wine. Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy 14 are often referred to as the biblical diet. While those chapters concern mostly with animal food products, we are encouraged to limit the consumption of certain meats. Food preparation is not a lost art. Recipes and procedures for preparing meals from scratch are readily available. Entire sections in bookstores are devoted to cookbooks, and such instructions are numerous on websites. We might take a health lesson from Jesus. His physical condition was very likely excellent because he was a carpenter and he walked everywhere he went. Also, his diet would have contained no chemicals or sugar. The only sweet product he might have consumed was honey. We often hear the key to good health is diet and exercise. Jesus, the Savior of the world, would have adhered to those practices. His lessons to us are many more than eternal salvation. We must always teach that eternal salvation is attained by a faith-based belief. Ephesians 2:8, in Christ Jesus crucified, Matthew 27:35, for the remission of sin, 1 John 1:9, resurrected, Matthew 28:6, and ascended alive into heaven, Acts 1:9. Van Yandel is a retired industrial arts teacher, an ordained gospel evangelist, and commissioned missionary. Email address vmy3451@gmail.com. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Matthew 27:35. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 28:6. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said, come see the place where he lay. Acts 1:9. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Saul takes his life. From 1 Samuel chapter 31. The Philistines fought against Israel, and the Israelites fled from them. The Philistines pressed hard after Saul and his sons. They killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. In fierce fighting, the archer wounded Saul critically. Saul requested that his armor-bearer run his sword through him. He did not want a Philistine to kill him. The armor-bearer refused, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. The armor-bearer did likewise. The Philistines found Saul's body and the bodies of his sons. They cut off their heads and stripped off their armor, proclaiming to people what had happened. They fastened Saul's body to the wall of Bethshan, along with his sons' bodies. The Israelites of Jabesh Gilead took down the bodies of Saul and his sons, burned them at Jabesh, and buried their bones under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, December 20th, 2025. Religion. Second Baptist Church prepares live nativity. Annual event celebrates the birth of Christ by Nathaniel Miller. For 70 years, Second Baptist Church and its congregation have brought its live nativity to Odessa with such a picturesque quality, it's hard to imagine the holiday season without it. For an event to last that long, there has to be a reason people keep returning. Second Baptist pastor Jackie Bream said there's no question about why the event is such a success. It's a timeless message, Bream said. The nativity scene typically includes a stable, animals, Mary and Joseph, and the baby Jesus in a manger. Volunteers of the congregation perform on the stage, standing as if they were a real painting, taking 30-minute shifts before the next group replaces them on stage. This year's annual live nativity is scheduled from 7 to 9 p.m., December 22nd and 23rd, and 7 to 8 p.m., December 24th. A 6 p.m. service is also scheduled before the Christmas Eve event. The showing is free and will be held at Second Baptist Church, 711 East 17th Street. Hay bales and chairs will be available for sitting, and more are expected to enjoy the event from their vehicles. Bream said all are invited, adding the message of Jesus' birth is a reminder that there is good in the world. I think it's because of the message of hope that the birth of Christ carries, he said. If you go, Second Baptist Church's 70th annual live nativity, 7 to 9 p.m. December 22nd and 23rd, 7 to 8 p.m. December 24th, 711 East 17th Street, no admission charge. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day by William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. Most people have read or at least heard of a man named Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, 1807 to 1882. He was a literary giant in his lifetime and is still known today in many circles as the children's poet, as several schools around our nation are named in his honor. You may remember some of his original works, which include Paul Revere's Ride, The Song of Hiawatha, and Evangeline, and was also the first American to completely translate Dante Alighieri's comedy. As one of the fireside writers from New England, he is regarded as the most popular poet of the 19th century. On July 9th, 1861, tragedy struck the Longfellow home. His wife Fanny was near an open window, placing locks of her daughter's hair in a packet, using hot sealing wax to secure it. It was never known whether a spark from a match or the sealing wax was the cause, but suddenly her dress caught fire, and she was engulfed in flames. Henry was sleeping and was suddenly awakened by her screams for help. He ran into the room and immediately tried to smother the flames as best he could, first with a rug and then with his own body. But the damage from the burns was very severe. She died the next morning. Henry's burns were so extensive on his face and hands that he was unable to attend his wife's funeral. The scars on his face made shaving nearly impossible, so he allowed his beard to grow, which became associated with his image. The anguish within his soul was beyond what anyone could fathom. His family could see his suffering in his eyes, and they observed his long periods of silence. At times he feared that he would be sent to an asylum on account of his sorrow. A couple of years later, in 1863, there was another crisis when his son Charles Longfellow, without telling his family, boarded a train headed for Washington, D.C. to join President Lincoln's Union Army to fight in the Civil War. On the first day of that December, Henry was dining alone at his home when a telegram arrived with the news that Charlie had been shot and was being transferred to the Rapidan River. Henry immediately set out to search for his son and arrived by train on December 5th. He was alarmed when informed by the army surgeon that his son's wound was very serious and that Charles would most likely be paralyzed. Longfellow, as a 57-year-old widowed father of six children, was not only witnessing his country fight a war against itself, but his oldest son had been struck down on the battlefield. Although he was admired for his gift of communicating the human experience, Longfellow still yearned for divine peace, which only God can give. On that Christmas day in 1863, he heard the Christmas bells ringing in Cambridge and the singing of Peace on Earth, but he considered the division and violence in his country to be in direct contradiction with a joyous holiday. He sat down and desperately tried to reflect on the joys of knowing that God is not dead or sleeping, and that he is the only one who can heal, save, and give hope to the soul. He was never considered a hymn writer. However, the poem he wrote on that day expresses the agony about the dark condition of a nation and was later set to music by Englishman John Calkin. The result is one of our most beloved Christmas carols, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. There is a theme of passion and determination within the poem that expresses how an attitude of confidence and trust in the Lord can overcome fear and hopelessness, even in the midst of bleak despair. The Civil War was in full swing, and the devastation from the Battle of Gettysburg still gripped the nation in a state of trauma. He must have asked himself how we can have peace on earth and goodwill toward men in this war-torn land where brother fights against brother and father against son. Yes, the days were grievous, but he includes in one of the stanzas, "The wrong shall fail, the right prevail." Within these words, we sense a man crying out to God in prayer, just like many of us today who are praying for this world, to please stop the hatred and the evil, and may all people be unified with God's forgiveness and love. This reminds us that eternal peace and harmony shall one day be established when the Prince of Peace shall reign forever. I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Read more about the Christian life at BillyHollandMinistries.com. Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. Moving the Ark of the Lord from 2 Samuel chapter 6. David was now king of all Israel. He captured the fortress of Zion, Jerusalem, and called it the City of David. as they were transporting the Ark of the Lord from the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem. The oxen pulling the cart carrying the Ark stumbled. Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark, and the Lord struck him dead because of his irreverent act. Being afraid, David took the Ark to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, where it remained 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household. Seeing the blessings of the Lord upon the household of Obed-Edom, David went to move the Ark of the Lord to the city. As the Ark was being carried to the city of David, David danced before the Lord with all his might. David's wife, Michal, daughter of Saul, criticized David for his dancing in the street and accused him, saying, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." Features from the Bible. Truth in Scripture. David and Mephibosheth. From 2 Samuel chapters 8 and 9. David reigned all over Israel, doing what was just and right for all his people. Once he asked if there was anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom he could share kindness for Jonathan's sake. The servant Ziba told David of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, whose feet had become crippled when the nurse carrying him fell while escaping danger, having heard of the death of Saul and Jonathan. 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. David had Mephibosheth brought to his house and put Ziba and his household to be Mephibosheth's servant. David promised Mephibosheth, "I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore you to all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table."
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.